so much happened in the draft. We do want to get to that, but we've got loaded calls here. And I would like to point out, Dustin.
Yes, Nick.
I've officially heard the dumbest theory on why the Cavs lost last night, and I want to give a special shout-out for it.
Okay, who was it?
Curtis, who's one of our...
Is he a loyal listener?
He definitely is a loyal listener, and he also is a loyal tagger of literally every person in Cleveland sports. And because he tagged ESPN Radio, CBS Sports Radio, Fox Sports Radio, everybody that works at the station, everybody that works in Cleveland media, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Dean Wade. And clearly he's upset that anyone has any problem with Game 3 and said, did it ever occur to Nick Wilson says, at Nick Wilson says, that the Cavs, he tagged the Cavs, wanted a Game 5 in Cleveland to win it in front of their fans? I missed the point. They lost last night up clearly. They lost last night on purpose so they could let them know in person in Game 5. I am so embarrassed. I didn't see this. I maybe need to take a week off, maybe go back to Jamaica, rethink my career. How did I miss this very obvious thing that the Cavs lost last night? They got hosed by 40 points on the road in Game 3 because they're just really good, tender-hearted individuals that want to win at home.
They're just a bunch of sweethearts.
I'm sorry to the Cavs. I'm sorry to Donovan Mitchell, to JB for the hair-tussling stuff. You can still get your ice cream and a hot dog if you want it. I am so sorry anybody that's ever played for the Cavs. I completely misread the room. They just want to clinch at home.
It's got to be the same thing about when they said the lights were too bright. This is right on the same page, right?
What do you mean?
Like they threw that game as well. And
oh, yeah.
The lights being too bright was just an excuse.
They threw that series last year.
Yeah.
Because they realized it would set them up to come back this year and win a playoff series. This is why I suck at chess, guys, because I'm in my life. I'm just a checkers guy. All right, I just want to king me. That's all I want. It's not how it works in Curtis's NBA world. There, 216-474-0092. Let's go with Brian. Welcome to the show, Brian. How are we feeling today?
I'm feeling great, and I love that rant. Mm-hmm. Listen, man, the Cavs are who we think they are. I called in that last game, and that was the game I called my ticket agent. I said, look, cancel me for the playoffs. You cannot have a mentality of trying to pick and choose teams. You have to have a dog in you. You have to have a coach that says no matter what, we take all comers on. That's our philosophy. That's the city of Cleveland's philosophy. We're grit. We're dirt. We want it.
But Brian, they've got a dog chain. Doesn't that mean they have the dog in them?
They got the killer instinct.
Yeah.
They don't have no. Listen here, man. That unicorn you got. This is supposed to be his coming out party, but he is who we thought he was because all season he didn't come out. You got Darius Garland, the walking turnover. He's been turning the ball over like this all year. So my problem with them, that it's more than one game, is because Orlando is the new Jack. You were the new Jack last year. They are the new Jacks. So after. I'll use the Jared Allen. The first two games, the light was too bright for them. Even Charles Barkley said, hey, man, the problem with Orlando is they got to realize that this is playoff time. So if you got the right coach and the right players with the mentality, you could have lost yesterday, but you lose because you make them come after you. You show them that, hey, man, we about to take y'all out of here, and we're going to put this pressure on you. Because you stunk it up in Cleveland, and we want to keep that going. We don't want to give you – I think those guys from Orlando now, Banchero and them, saying, look, we told you we could play with these guys because we spanked them by 40-something points. So all that about 2 points doesn't get you two games or 40 points don't get you more win games, no, but it gets your fever going. It gets your mentality. It gets the crowd saying, hey, Cleveland wasn't nothing last year when New York pumped them. So all we got to do is play rough with them, and we can get back in and maybe get them to Game 7, and they might crumble and fold because, once again, they done already said they can't stand the bright lights.
Brian,
I'll let you guys go from here.
Brian, we appreciate it, buddy. Good stuff. The Darius line particularly was very funny. I'm not here to tell you this is fait accompli, they're going to lose the series, or that's even going 7. But now, all of a sudden, there's immense pressure on Game 4 for the Cavs. The pressure's all on the Cavs because they're still on the road because now they have to show that they're above getting punked again for the second straight time. And in a way, okay, we've been waiting 2 years to figure out, honestly, at least 1 year since they got punked by New York, we've been waiting to see how this team is going to respond. And so for a team that talked about last year was last year, last night did seem a lot like last year. And so I'm willing to wait to reserve judgment. Last night was not acceptable. Unacceptable. And if that happens against Boston, it will turn into a four-game sweep. Because you're lucky you're playing Orlando, who, honestly, that was one of the all-time best offensive performances you're ever going to get out of those guys as currently constructed at this point in their careers. So I'll give it to, all right, I'm waiting for tomorrow. But you do the same thing tomorrow, and you're just going to tell on yourself. That's all that's going to happen. You get one gimme in the playoffs. I'll give you the gimme. I'm still pissed about last night. It did not make last night any more palatable, but show me tomorrow. Oh, hey, last year was last year. Show me tomorrow. Hey, it was just one game. Show me tomorrow. Oh, you got that dog in you? If I see that chain before the Cavs win this series, if I see that, I'm going to lose my mind. If for game four they roll out that chain after the way they got spanked last night, I will be very embarrassed. And everybody should too. But again, we're just happy that we have a franchise. Who has expectations? Jason, welcome to the show. Hello, Jason.
Jason, what's up, buddy?
Really appreciate it. Jason, give us a call back, buddy. We can't hear you there. Let's go with, who should I go with, Keith? Because they both agree with me. I don't want to.
Excuse me.
Which one's that?
Beep, bop, boop, bop.
Matt.
I was going to say take Matt.
Welcome to the show, Matt. Hey. What you got for us, buddy?
Hey. Listen. Dustin.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too.
You bought me a shot one time. It was good. We had a good conversation.
It's a racer phrase.
Nick?
Yes.
Good job. Like, honestly, like, we're talking about a loss, right?
Yes.
It's not just a loss. That was an embarrassment. Like, they didn't show up. I'm pissed about it. Like, let's go. Like, what are we doing here? You know, like, I don't know. Yeah, we're up 2-1, okay? But like you said, the Cavs, they need to, like, I don't know. They need to show up. Darius Garland. And I'm worried. I love Mitchell, but, like, I'm worried he's going to leave, you know?
Matt, I just got to say, I need a little bit more rage out of you. You're being too nice. I'm not accusing you of being like Evan Mobley. I want to hear it.
I'm kind of a ragey person, and I don't want to do it on, you know, live air. It's, you know.
Give it to us. Come on.
You want me to go?
Let's go. Just you know, don't curse or anything, but let's go.
No, I'm not going to curse, you know, but, like,
Wait. No. There's a lot of pressure right now. You're like the Cavs going into game four. There's a lot of pressure. We're going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to re-invite you on the air. I'm putting you on hold. I'm going to re-invite you on air, okay? All right. Matt, give us a call right now. Matt, how do you feel about what happened in game three?
I feel like even if we win this series, they're not going to win the next series, whoever they play. They're not showing up, man. They need to go.
Dustin, you feeling it?
I feel they need to go. I'm with both of you that it was.
Did you feel Matt's rant there, or do we need to give him one more chance?
It wasn't Matt. I love your passion, but it's not as good as Nick's passion.
Right, maybe a shot would help.
Yeah, wait, Matt, okay. One more time.
If I bought you a shot right now, you'd probably give me a little more passion.
We're gonna put Matt on hold one more time. Matt, we're gonna bring it right back on as if the first two parts of this call.
That other part didn't happen.
Never heard it. It was a different Matt. His name might have been Nat, as a matter of fact, because now we're welcoming on Matt, and Matt is hot about game three. Matt, run, tell that, preach.
I'm the same Matt. What do you guys even... there's only one Matt, and I'm here. So, like, there's no other Matt.
Matt, we appreciate you being a good sport.
Appreciate you, Matt.
The birds chirping in the background just make it through.
He came all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I don't know what was funnier to me. The fact that we were trying to get Matt going there, or the second time where it's like, Dustin, what are you thinking about this? Dustin's like, hey, I agree with you both, but
I don't know.
Real quick here,
let
Mark.
It let it go, will you?
Mark, what do you have for us, buddy?
Did you just say Jamaica?
Yes.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
What's so funny about that?
Jamaica. And nothing. My thing is, we got to come out swinging tomorrow night because last night's game was unacceptable. Now, yes, I want us to win this series and not go to a 4-7, but it's up to the players and the coaches, and they just can't be laid back. And I just want to see them be more aggressive in tomorrow afternoon's game. I mean, come on. I mean, if this is our year, this is our year. We just need to show it. But, again, last night's game was unacceptable. And no one gets ice cream as well, too. No one gets ice cream. Shoot, no sprinkles, no nothing. How about that?
But Mark, I mean, it's just one game. They just got to try harder. That's all. Didn't you hear the Cavs? Yeah, the Cavs just have to try harder. That's all.
Got to try harder. I mean, there's no excuse about that. Period, point blank. I want us to win.
This really is.
Tonight's draft, go Browns.
All right, Mark, we appreciate you, buddy. This is the wrong town to, for like three straight months, come out and say at least once a week, we just got to try harder. We just got to play harder. You honestly, that's South Beach.
Let's score more points than the other team.
South Beach, they don't show up till halftime to the Heat games when they're in the finals. That's where you go ahead and do the little, we just got to try harder. But by the way, they play harder than anybody in the NBA, the Heat do. You know what? Hey, we heard Charlotte get ripped apart by the anonymous players poll where they said the Spectrum Center is a great venue. Just really quiet. Maybe you can do this in Charlotte with a little hair tussle. You can't do that in Cleveland, dog. If you really want to be a dog, if you really want to be a playoff team, like, no, I don't think it's acceptable in any way. One game or not. It does, like, when it's a trend, the dude cannot abide. The Browns are on the clock, and to go ahead and talk about the Browns' approach to tonight's draft, night two, picks 54 and 85. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Any Cavs Game 3 takes before we get to the Browns?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't watch much of it last night. My poor husband was stuck in the basement while I was upstairs watching the draft, and it was so ugly. But you know what? Each game, I think, can take on a life of its own. And just when you think it's over, a team can bounce back. So I'm not ruling them out just yet.
That was a measured and mature take, and I'll let it stand for now. I will not argue with you. Mary Kay, are the Browns more likely to trade up or trade down in the second round tonight, right now?
I would say more likely to trade back, because if you look at it, they don't have a fourth-round pick. That's the last pick in the Deshaun Watson trade, and I think that in a perfect world, they would like to get back into the fourth round. Because if you look at this draft, it really kind of tails off somewhere in about the fourth round. So I think to the extent that you can, you'd like to move up or back and try to grab something in the fourth round. So I'm going to say that they would be more likely to trade down.
Have you heard any whispers about, given that we now know, you know, who's still left on the board, at least as of pick 33, do we have any names that we should be on the lookout for that are currently available?
You know, I think it's still kind of too early for that, because I do think that Andrew means it when he says when they get to about pick 44, that's when they'll get really serious about knowing what they can and can't do. I wrote some insider stuff today, just thoughts that I have heading into it. And, I just don't know that they're as high on a defensive tackle as some people think they might be, or maybe even perhaps as high on a receiver as some people think they might be. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know if this would happen or not, but he loves offensive linemen. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was an offensive lineman or some other position that would surprise people.
So, I mean, obviously you covered a lot of ground there. Do you have an idea? Like, what position group do you think is the number one? Is there a number one position group that they're looking at there? I want a receiver, but that's just me.
You know, I don't think there is a number one position group, because they tell us over and over and over again that they do not draft for need. Therefore, I don't think they would necessarily go against that philosophy. By the same token, I do think there are certain positions where they feel pretty well set and would wonder how they're going to get any more guys on the field at that spot. I also think maybe defensive end. If it's your top pick, you have to think about the fact that Za'Darius Smith is going, you know, he's heading into the final year of his contract. You have to be thinking about the future on that side. So defensive ends, I mean, maybe Austin Booker, I kind of like him. I don't know, again, you know, how much they, you know, what they exactly think of him, but he's just somebody that I've studied a little bit and I really like him. There are players that at almost every position that you could say they can go with that guy. And I know that just sounds so trite or whatever, but they just don't, they're not going to know yet until some of these guys fly off the board.
Mary Kay, given they've only got two picks in the top 100, you mentioned the draft kind of falls off after the fourth round. How important for how important is this draft for this Browns team?
Well, it's important, but this is not a make or break draft for them by any stretch of the imagination. I can't really imagine very many players coming from this draft and making an enormous contribution for the Browns this year or starting or whatever. You might find someone that will contribute out of the second round, maybe out of the third round, but they're not looking for a savior in this draft. They have pretty much what they need at every position, and this is kind of a supplemental draft where they'll add some depth and they will be looking for guys for the future. So they draft them young, and that's why I think, you know, it could be what, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was an offensive tackle. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a guard in the second round. Joel Bitonio, how long is Joel Bitonio going to continue playing heading into his 11th season? So those are some areas that I would be looking at. And, you know, they can pretty much do anything. We know that Andrew Berry loves defensive backs. So this is a draft where, you know, it's basically wide open at this point.
Should we expect another quiet night, even though they do have those two picks, should we expect more of a quiet night, or are there anything out there that could potentially catch us by surprise that Andrew Berry could have in the works?
I think it'll be kind of a quiet night, except for the fact that, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade or two or try to make a trade or two and try to move back and see if they can't pick up that fourth round pick. I think that, you know, that's one of the number one things that I think they'll be on the lookout for. And then I think that changes your strategy a little bit too. If you're moving back, that might get you into a different class of player or a different position. And that's why I don't think they can even lock in on anything at this point. I think one of the only things that they probably won't do at 54, we can almost rule out running back, quarterback. There are certain spots where you just know that they're not going to do that.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the hotline. Mary Kay, there's one publication that had some pre-draft projections. They ranked the Browns roster 14th in the league. They also said the Browns roster is third in the AFC North. What do you think about that? Too high, too low, or just right?
Well, it seems a little low given all the talent they have across the board. I think the big X factor is always Deshaun Watson. Nobody really knows what to make of him, what to sort of do with him, how to grade him. And I think that throws people off. If everyone knew that he was going to be healthy and be the Deshaun Watson of old, then I think that this roster would be graded higher than that and higher in the division. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
So with that, it's funny because I've tried to do this myself. I know everybody's going to, especially in this scenario with The Athletic, everything's going to be about Deshaun Watson. If we take the quarterback off the board, do you see any weakness in the starters or that first round of backups currently on this roster?
You know what? I really don't feel like they have a weakness per se. Now, you're going to be probably waiting for Nick Chubb to come back. So you might want to add a running back and one that can contribute for you this season. But I don't know if you would necessarily even call that a weakness, because I think they're pretty happy with Jerome Ford, with the running back by committee. Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong, Dante Foreman. They've got a new running backs coach. They've got some new energy and a new philosophy there. I could see them adding to the room, but that's one spot where you might look at it and say, oh, yeah, well, they could probably use someone else there.
So I have to know, how was it hard to stay engaged last night knowing that the Browns didn't have a first-round pick last night and that there was 0.0% chance they actually get one?
No, I mean, I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed listening to some of Bill Belichick. I enjoyed the intrigue and the drama and seeing all the offensive guys fly off the board and all the quarterbacks and just wondering, how in heaven's name are all of these quarterbacks going to succeed in the NFL? I remember back in the day when if you got to number two and you were talking about having to take the second best quarterback at number two in the draft, you were already doomed. People were like, nope, that's going to fail, not happening. And now a flood of quarterbacks in the first round of the draft, it sort of represents a sea change in the NFL, and I'm very, very curious to see how this all plays out.
So with that, it's interesting that you were talking about the quarterbacks because the Morning Boys had Sal Pal on earlier this week, and he talked about a quarterback crisis in the NFL. And it's funny, we've asked about this a few different times, and everybody's come up with their own definition of what the crisis is actually about. So do you agree that the NFL has a quarterback crisis, and how would you define what the crisis is if you think so?
Well, I didn't hear what Sal Pal had to say, so I don't really know exactly what he's talking about with the quarterback crisis, but I guess I'm not really necessarily in that camp. I sort of feel like it's wide open for all of these young quarterbacks to come in, to make their mark. And I feel like there's almost a renaissance of quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I think there are a lot of really, really good ones, some good up-and-coming young ones. And I sort of don't feel that way. So I'm not really sure what he meant by that, but if some of these quarterbacks turn out the way that these teams hope they will, and they find their, they're not Patrick Mahomes, but if they find their version of a Patrick Mahomes or someone like that, then I think that teams could be onto something with what happened this year.
So given what you saw last night, what was your favorite part of the coverage overall?
Well, I covered Bill Belichick so closely every single day for 5 years here. So I think, I flipped over and I was listening to him for a while, and I would just have to say that, that was probably my favorite part, is just to listen to him and have something a little new and fresh. So I was listening and watching on my phone, and, I had the TV on, but it was kind of cool to hear some of the things that he had to say. I loved the Randy Moss story that he told about draft day and Randy Moss hanging up on him. There are so many stories like that in the NFL, so many cool stories. And he, I'm sure, has tons and tons of them. And I think he's just going to be dynamite in the media world.
Mary Kay, Pittsburgh, they've got two quarterbacks battling for their starting job. Obviously, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. It was reported that they're not going to pick up Justin Fields' fifth-year option. What happens in Pittsburgh this season with the quarterbacks? I mean, obviously, both are going to compete. The long-term prospects of what they're doing there in the Steel Valley. I don't know what the hell. I was trying to think of something witty to say, but I'm not that smart. Okay, there you go.
Oh, you're plenty smart.
I can't wait to see how this plays out. There are issues in the AFC North right now. There are some issues that could open the door for the Browns to sneak up there to the top, and I'm sure they're going to have to 100% battle it out with some teams. But if you look at what's going on, again, in Pittsburgh with them trying to figure out whether it's Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, what they're doing there, and then you look at guys wanting to be traded out of Cincinnati because they don't think they're going to get paid, that's some turmoil in the AFC North. And that leads me to believe that perhaps you're going to be looking at maybe Browns versus Ravens battling it out. But you never know. You can never count out the Steelers ever, ever, no matter what. And then if Joe Burrow's healthy, of course, we all know what he's about. But that's what I think about when I look at the AFC North right now, is there's a little bit of dysfunction going on.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Roger Goodell's come out here and used draft week to talk about that prolonged desire for an 18-game regular season slate. Do we know kind of when the NFL, because it feels like it's going to happen, it just matters on how they make it happen and when they make it happen. Do we know kind of when the NFL wants to finally push that and get the 18-game regular season slate that they clearly have desired since this thing went to 17 games a few years back?
Well, I think that when you look at the push into global markets and more international games every year, I think that's going to have a lot to do with it. I think they're going to add games, they're going to add countries, cities, and they're going to continue to grow the game. So I think when you look over the next 5 years or so, I think there will be 18 games. I think there will be games almost every single day of the week and different times, especially with betting. You know, that way you can have people's eyes on the games on all different days, all different times, and you're going to bet more that way. So I think that, you know, there is a sea change going on that way, and we will see a different NFL over the next 5 years.
Given that obviously you're going to have your hands full with the Browns tonight, is there, outside of the Browns, is there a source of intrigue in the first 10 to 15 picks that you're paying attention to?
You know, really just very curious to see which names go off the board of the people that I've sort of looked at for the Browns and thought would be interesting for them. But that really is just kind of my own, you know, you get favorites as you're going around and you're looking for different guys. You know, Malachi Corley is one that I thought was kind of an interesting receiver just because of the different skill set he brings and things like that. So that's what I will be doing, is looking to see which of those guys that I thought might be kind of cool to end up in a Browns uniform, what happens with them in those first 10 picks or so.
Mary Kay, excellent stuff as always. Enjoy night two of the draft. And hey, just your husband can breathe easy tonight. He doesn't have to watch another bad, bad performance by the Cavs tonight in the playoffs.
That's right. We're all focused on the Browns tonight.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mary Kay. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com just moments ago telling us what's most likely to happen with that Browns 54th pick. It's weird. I feel like the most likely thing is a trade down. Then it's stand pat. And I think there's like a 1% chance of trading up. I don't even know how far they would trade up. But I actually thought Lima made a really good case today for, you know, you look at this roster. If you can get a guy that you think can make an impact this year, that might be more valuable than three or four scratch-off guys. You might be worth taking two or three picks, putting them together so you can get a guy who you think can be an impact player as soon as this year, if not, you know, a key starter next year.
Sorry that Mike was not on. I'm professional
no
sometimes.
Worries.
So is there a player you have in mind tonight?
So yes, I will say, I don't think
like a dream player.
So I don't think they should trade up, but there are two guys who have been obsessed with the entire draft, and I cannot figure out why they're not first round picks. One is Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois. You know, I have such a soft spot for undersized defensive tackles. That's what he fits. And by the way, my favorite player in the league that isn't a Cleveland Brown is Chris Jones, who's a 6'6", 320-pound dude. But I think Johnny Newton would be worth trading up for. I think he's the kind of guy who could actually push the rotational guys at defensive tackle to start. And then I think this might be the least popular take I have.
Tackle?
No, the center out of Oregon. Mm. And I like Ethan Posick a lot. I think Ethan has far surpassed anything that I ever thought he could do when they signed him 2 years ago. He's been fantastic. That being said, I think it's Powers Johnson, Jackson Powers Johnson, I think could start for a decade here. Because I think he is, at least as what they favored, and I know they just drafted a kid out of Ohio State last year.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get that. So maybe you don't want go center there. But I think he's the kind of guy that, like, if Bill Callahan were still here, I think Bill Callahan could turn that dude into all pro for a decade. I really, really like him out of Oregon. Those would be the two things, the two players that I'd say trade up for either one of them.
So looking at a mock draft here, Chris Trefasso, CBS Sports, has a day two mock draft. He's got the Browns taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston.
Okay.
And their rationale is obviously they're trying to beef up the offensive line. He's like the same size as DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, he's a big fella. Yeah.
Like 6'7", 315.
I do think that actually makes it harder to kind of figure out, you know, like I think you start to kind of peel away the characteristics that Bill Callahan really liked on offensive linemen, and you kind of construct a tackle, or you can construct this player. DeJuan Jones is the anomaly because not many dudes are built 6'8", 370 pounds and can move like DeJuan can. I think that does. I think that makes it tough, though. And I'll be honest with you. Should they go developmental left tackle, or should they go? Because right now they don't have anyone playing guard in the future. If either Betonio retires after this year, or if Wyatt Teller, were to ask for a contract and that weren't to come to fruition, and you trade him, I don't think there's a guard on the roster that I feel comfortable starting. Whereas with tackle, you do have DeJuan, even though it seems like they don't think of him as a left tackle.
Yes. Listen, makes sense there. I don't want them to take a tackle because I just don't like. I don't like tackles.
You don't like offensive linemen?
I don't like taking them high.
You don't like fat people. That's what it is. It makes.
I don't like taking them high.
Your career makes a lot more sense now. I'll ask you, why not? Why don't you like taking them high?
I just don't, because I like the sexy picks.
That's basic.
Not basic.
That's very basic.
Listen, I am.
If they took Cooper DeGene at 54,
that's a different story.
It would last longer than 4 hours.
The Unicorn Club with Cooper DeGene.
So what did you think about the Chargers picking Joe Alt then?
Picking what?
Joe Alt.
I don't like it.
I actually think it's a great pick for them.
So Joe Thomas at 3.
You're such a...
No, I'm not. They need to protect Justin Herbert, and they need a run game. They had none.
And here's the thing.
I know it makes sense, but I'm not a GM. Thank God.
I will say, I think this is why Harbaugh wins. Harbaugh, the reason... I mean, he took Michigan from a team that had... some like nice mid-round guys, but like fringe NFL guys in the trenches when he took over, and he built them into a juggernaut on both sides of the ball. And by the way, if you look at what they did in San Francisco, that's why they won in San Francisco, more so than the quarterback play. I think Joe Alt's a great pick.
I was just going to say, to add to what Nick said, a lot of pressure would have been for fans to say, hey, you got rid of some receivers this offseason that could have helped you on offense. It would have been easy for them to just say, hey, let's go draft one of those 3-star wide receivers this year. And they didn't. They didn't back down from saying, we need to build from the trenches out.
Well, and here's the thing. Joe Alt with Rashawn Slater is insane. Like, I don't even know it matters who the rest of the guys in your offensive line are. Like, because I'm assuming they're going to move Slater inside, and if that dude is a badass at left tackle, if you move him inside, he could be Hall of Fame level tackle or Hall of Fame level guard. So I'm really bullish on what the Chargers did. I'm going to go again. I don't think you have to trade up. I see some of the merit. Again, I thought Lyman did a great job at kind of framing why he thought it made sense. There's only really two or three guys I'd be interested in. If they stay at 54, I can see Cooper or Colson, the linebackers out of A&M in Michigan. The only reason I think they might not have it is, I mean, outside of JOK, we really haven't seen Andrew Berry go that high for linebackers. He actually seems to treat linebackers the way you treat tackles. And but no, I think they're there's still a buttload of talent, and there's a lot of intriguing guys. Inevitably, I think they're going to trade down. And I think it just makes sense to trade down unless there's a different way to pick up another pick. But I think the Browns are sitting really pretty. 10 picks in, I could clench if all my favorite guys are off the board. But I like where they are. I think they are going to trade down. And it's going to feel a lot like you felt and your son felt last night watching the Bills trade down
man,
twice.
It was brutal.
Was it twice or three times?
Twice, because they traded from 28 to... 32, then traded from 32 to 33.
But hey, they get the first pick now.
Dude, can I just, I know we got to go 30 seconds. So what were the Bills doing last night trading the fastest wide receiver in the history of the NFL to Patrick Mahomes? I was pretty fired up about that one.
Yeah, I would just stop trading with Kansas City. Because remember, Kansas City, the
Bills fan, I follow a lot of Bills reporters and fans and stuff because obvious reasons, but people cannot believe this. Bean is like on the hot seat, dude.
You know how the Chiefs got the 10th pick for Patrick Mahomes, right? They got it from the Bills.
They built a dynasty.
Yeah. Off that 10th pick that initially belonged to the Bills. By the way, they the next year, the Bills got Josh Allen. All's well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would just... Seems like every time the Chiefs trade with the Bills, the Chiefs do really well. The Bills don't lose, but the Chiefs do a little bit better.